In this timely message, discover biblical keys to wholeness. Now the word with Pastor Paul.
Mark chapter 5. My. Be sensitive this morning. Mark chapter 5. All this month, we've been going through the book of Mark and looking at various highlights in the book of Mark. If I was to go through every single detail in the book of Mark, we'll be here for a very long time. But we've talked about the leper in Mark chapter 1. We talked about the man born by four and his friends. The man born by four in Mark chapter 2. And then last week, we looked at Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. We're going a step further. Mark chapter 5 has two significant events there, the madman of Gadara and then this woman with the issue of blood. Let's look at her this morning. Mark chapter 5, verse 28. Thank you, Lord. Let's start from verse 27. Actually, 25. He will make it clearer. He says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. It's one thing to have a bad day every now and then. But to have this condition for 12 years, that's a different story. And her story, in some regards, is similar to the leprous man. When you had an issue of blood or a flow of blood, you weren't supposed to come into contact with people. And you see that in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19, 25, and 27, you see that there, where you just couldn't touch things or people. You were unclean. And so for her, if she had a husband, she couldn't even come close to him. If she had children, family, she couldn't come close to, she couldn't cook anything for them. She was as good as dead. That's how hopeless the situation was. And so, for her to take a risk and come out, and for her to come out is taking a risk. And the thing is, this situation has continued for 12 years. Hopeless situation. And in our lives, sometimes we come into circumstances that seem hopeless. And the Bible says in verse 26, Mark chapter 5, verse 26, it says, "And had suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." She's done all she can from the natural standpoint, and the situation hasn't improved. How many of us sometimes can identify with that? We've done all we know to do from the natural standpoint. From the physical standpoint, it looks hopeless. It looks like nothing can be done. And so many people, when they get to that point, that is where they give up. Life becomes difficult. Life becomes an uphill task. Everything that they try doesn't work, doesn't seem to work. When it is morning, they wish it is evening. When it is evening, they wish it is morning. And sometimes we can identify with that. But when she got to that point, The Bible says, verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus. You see, in life, we meet so many people. The most important person that you can meet in life is Jesus. When she heard about Jesus. You see, in those times, news traveled around very fast by word of mouth. And even in our days, word of mouth travels very fast as well. And sometimes rumors spread very quickly. And you don't know which one is true. But when she heard about Jesus again, you see, somebody must have told her about Jesus, the miracles that were happening. And when she heard about Jesus, now it's left up to her what to do. You see, here what you hear about Jesus is so important. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, let's go there. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for this? Something is going to happen this morning. The Bible says that so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So many times we look at people that have faith. We look at this woman, and we look at people that exercise faith. You say, how do I get faith? This tells you right here how to get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when she heard about Jesus, now she has a choice to make, a decision to make, whether to believe what she has heard about Jesus or not to believe. You see, even when you doubt, you still believe. It's just that you believe the wrong thing. Think about it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. One time Jesus told his disciples to cross over to the other side. That's just the previous account in Mark chapter 4. He told his disciples to cross over to the other side. And in verse 36, when they were crossing, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. He didn't say we are starting to cross to the other side and we plan to sing in the midst of the journey. When they encountered a storm, they woke up Jesus. We are in trouble. Can you help us? Jesus said, where is your faith? I said we are going to the other side. I didn't say we are going to sink in the middle. You are believing something else than what I told you. So when you doubt, that's just bonus material. I'll just threw that in there. I won't charge you anything for it. when you doubt, you still believe. It's just that you believe the wrong thing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so when she heard about Jesus, faith came as a result of what she heard. And then she made a decision to do something. The Bible says, verse 27, when she heard, Mark 5, 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. That is also significant because, you see, Jesus was wearing a shawl, and God had told the children of, what she was wearing had tassels or borders on it. And if you put that together with what God told the children of Israel as to how they should dress, I'm taking my time because this is very important. Notice Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. Thank you, Lord. Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. He says, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corner. And you shall have the tassels that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. So he says, have tassels or borders on the corners of your clothes. Now, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, thank you, Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, talking about the prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. He says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healings in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed cows. He shall arise with healing in his wings. The same word used there for wings is the same root Hebrew word used for borders. So she has a revelation that there is healing in the border, in the person of Jesus, and in the garment that he is wearing. That is why she's going for the garments. I want us to get that clear. There is healing in his wing. And so she says, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Number one, she recognized the hopelessness of her situation from the natural standpoint. She recognized the fact that the physicians couldn't help her. But she also recognized, oh, that if I can get to where Jesus is, oh, and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how hopeless the circumstances of your life look like. If you can touch Jesus this morning, and I see somebody touching Jesus this morning, I can assure you by the word of the Lord that you will be made whole. If you believe that, say amen. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what is the first step that she took towards her deliverance? The first step that she took, and you can take this same step as well towards your deliverance. The first step that she took was that. Verse 28 says, For she said. What you say is very important. The words coming out of your mouth is very important in your deliverance. If she had said, what is the use of going to see Jesus? Will anything have changed? If she had said, this condition has continued for 12 years and the physicians have not been able to do anything, what's the point? What's the use now? Will anything have changed? Positive or negative, it's so important, the words that come out of our mouth. You cannot speak death and receive life. You cannot speak sickness and walk in health. You cannot speak lack and walk in abundance. It doesn't happen. Mark this verse in your Bible. Don't let it get away from you. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. He says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Amen. The words of your mouth set the landmarks of your life. They set the boundaries of your life. Positive or negative. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. If you are not satisfied with where you are, check what you have been saying. Check it. Because it's a spiritual law. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." He will have what?
Whatever he says.
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 He will have what? Say it one more time. He will have what?
Whatever he says.
Check whatever you have now. That's what you set in motion. And whatever you are going to get tomorrow is what you set in motion. If you believe, you see, it's a spiritual law. If you believe in your heart and say it out of your mouth, and he says, "I believe that those things he says will be done," he will have whatsoever he says. You see, it's so important. I'm taking my time because it's a spiritual law. This woman said in Mark chapter 5, verse 28, "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Verse 34 says, "And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Your faith has made you well. If I may touch, I shall be well. Your faith has made you well. Amen. What did she receive? Exactly what she said. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think about it. How did you get born again? Have you ever thought about it? You put into motion that spiritual law. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We'll see it again here. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, one believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto. That is the same spiritual law that Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. That is how to move mountains in your life. That is how to move impossible circumstances in your life. When you put that law in motion, no devil in hell could stop you from being born again. You believed in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead, and you confessed him as Lord. You set into motion. When you did that, the Holy Spirit took that substance and recreated you and made you a new creation. What you believe is what you speak. What the woman said is what she believed. What you say is what you speak. If you believe that you are not going to make it, that's what you say. If you believe that God will help you, that's what you say. And that's what you receive in your life. What you say is your faith speaking, or what you believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm enjoying myself this morning. I like teaching this word. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what was written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore do what? Speak." We also believe and therefore speak. What you believe is what you speak. We also believe and therefore speak. And notice Jesus talked about the faith of God in Mark chapter 11. And he's saying, we have it, the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore speak. If you want to change the direction and the course of your life, the first thing to watch is the words that come out of your mouth. Just ask yourself, these words that came out, what is it going to produce? Life or death? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. Somebody is getting delivered this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The next thing that we see here is, now, the first step, it wouldn't have done her any good to just say, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole, and then just stay there. Will she have been made whole? No. Remember what we talked about. Faith without corresponding actions is dead being alone. Must put faith. You must put action to your faith. This is what I want to receive from God. This is what I want to see in my life. I'm going to take, not only am I going to say it, which is in line with God's word, healing was in line with God's word. When it's in line with God's word, I'm also going to take steps. She did it. She went to where Jesus was. And then when she got there, she ran into the crowd. And remember, she's not supposed to be out in public. She's unclean. But she said, nothing is going to stop me. In the walk of faith, in our walk down here, we run into obstacles. Sometimes we run into difficulty. Oh, but if you are like me, you will not let anything stand in your way to experience and receive God's best that he has for your life. Oh, crowd or no crowd, today is my day. I am going to touch the living Christ for the miracle that I need in my life. No matter, my past, no matter my failures, no matter the past disappointment, I will not let anything stand between me and my relationship with Jesus Christ, my relationship with God, and receiving his very best in my life. Oh, the people that receive from God are people that say that nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop the plan of God for my life. Nothing is going to stop that which God has appointed and ordained for my life. No obstacle. Nothing is going to stand in my way. Somebody will have seen the crowd and go home. And gone home. Not this person. And you are looking at somebody like that too. Nothing is going to stop me and you from fulfilling and receiving all that God has for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, before you leave this place, you will come into contact with the living Christ.
Amen.
And your life will not be the same. Thank you, Lord. Another thing that you have to realize. I won't skip it. I'll reserve that for as we go along. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, when she gets there, the crowd is there, and she says, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. She does it, and the Bible says she felt in her body that she was made whole. That's significant. Because, you see, so many of us, we want to feel first before we believe. We want to see first before we believe. The Bible reverses that around. You believe first, then you will feel or you will see. So important to realize that. The feeling comes, and the seeing comes after the believing and taking the steps necessary to receive from God. She took that step and she received and she felt in her body. You see, the word says, seeing is believing. That's not Bible faith. The Bible way is, believe and you will see the glory of God. Thomas said, unless I shall see the nail hole in his hands and the prints, and the wounds in his side, I will not believe. Jesus said, no, that's not the way to do it. Blessed is the one who has not seen, but yet believes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm having fun. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, another thing that you have to realize is I'm giving you vital key, giving us vital keys here. God is helping us this morning. She said, thank you, Lord. No, I won't get to that yet. Hold on. Let's see something else. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5. Glory be to the name of the Lord. She says, now, he says, Jesus said, verse 30 says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And he said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? That's an interesting question. There's a multitude around, and you are saying, who touched me? Isn't that interesting? There are people all around. But Jesus is talking about the touch that made a deposit on what he had, or a withdrawal, I should say, on what he had. He's not talking about the ordinary touch. He's talking about the touch that makes a demand on that which is in his person. And say, Lord, oh, these are the circumstances of my life. This is how my past has been. But in the mighty name of Jesus, I know that you can turn it around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then he says, and he looked around, verse 32, to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came down and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The next thing that she did was she told him the whole truth. She testified. The next thing is, testify. Get in the habit of testifying about what God has done in your life. When God does something in your life, don't just keep it to yourself. Just testify. Make an endeavor to testify about what God has done in your life. Testimonies breed testimonies. Testify. See what the Lord has done. See what God has done in my life. See how he delivered me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then Jesus said, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Daughter, your faith has made you well. The faith of Jesus? No. The faith of the apostles? No. Her faith in Jesus made her whole. Your faith in Jesus will make you whole as well. You see, that's bigger than healing. Because now, not only has she been healed of the condition that she had, her financial situation has changed. All the money that is going to the physicians can be channeled in a different direction and most likely into the ministry of Jesus. Another place he talks about the fact that the people that he had delivered, they ministered to him of their substance. That money should be put, take care of your family with it. Do something else with it apart from going to the physician that can do anything for you. Number two, the shame of her life has been wiped away. She couldn't come out in public. Oh, this morning, my prayer is every trace of shame in your life by their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be wiped away in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. She has been made whole. The thing that you also have to realize is, Mom, I'm just having fun. Are you getting blessed? I'm blessed already. Who set the moment that she was going to receive her healing? She did. You see, every source of power in the earth has a point of contact or how we contact that power. When you go to the faucet in your house, there's water behind, there's water there. But to get the water to flow, you turn on the faucet. There are lights in this room. When we walk into the room at first, the room is dark. There is electricity. There is power in here that can light up the whole room. The light switch is our contact with that power. Jesus was walking around with that power. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power. He's walking around with that power. But this woman used a point of contact to draw on that power. A point of contact is something that you do. And when you do it, you release your faith in the power of God, in the God of the whole universe that created the heavens and the earth and said, from this moment on, I believe, I receive. Everybody was just touching Jesus. The casual touch, they didn't receive anything. The person who received something was the one that said, if I may touch, I'm going to use the cloth as a point of contact to release the power that is present here. And she set the moment to receive her miracle, to receive from God. It's so important. Jesus used that all throughout his ministry. And you see that all through. There are different ways to contact the power of God. He used it all the way through. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He told a blind person, put clay, spit, mix clay with spittle, put it on his eyes and say, go and wash, you come see him. How you get there, that's a blind person going to get there? You go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash, you will come seeing. How is a blind person going to get there? You have to go get there. You have to obey what he tells you to do. He's giving him a point of contact. You see that all through the Bible. Naaman, go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. You come back completely whole. Naaman walks out and he says, aren't there better rivers than Jordan and all? I mean, we have better rivers. Why should I go and wash in this river? He's giving him something to do that will release his faith. Eventually, when he got there, he did 1, 2. The prophet said, when I get to the 7, my leprosy will be gone. 3, 4, 5, 6. By the time he's getting to 7, his expectancy is up there. And it's completely made whole. It's related all over the Bible. You see, Jesus, when he was on the earth, his power was local to one place. If Jesus was in Capernaum is where the power is. Oh, but I'm excited. I like this. Now the power of Jesus is not local to one place. His power is everywhere. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But the question becomes, how do I draw on this power in my everyday life? Every day of my life, how do I do it? The first thing is, of course, by prayer. Prayer. The Bible talks about the fact that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Amplified, that's how the Amplified puts it, makes tremendous power available. When you start the day with prayer, it sets the tone. As you go through the day and you run into difficulty, sometimes taking it a moment to say, God, what should I do about this? Just pray. Pray to him. That power is released on your behalf. And of course, we've looked at this one, by faith. There was a certain man in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. His name, we call him blind Bartimaeus. And he was blind. And when he heard, these people, when they heard Jesus was passing by, it made all the difference in their life. He says, so Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre. Mark chapter 12, from verse 41. What did I say? Blind Bartimaeus. This woman here is in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. It talks about the woman who was even outside. She was outside the covenant. She pressed her way into her portion. She started crying out to Jesus. Jesus said, go away. He said, no, I'm not leaving. You see, if you are going to walk with God, you must be persistent. There's persistence involved. You cannot just start and give up. No. And the blind Bartimaeus, he's in Mark chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. He was crying out to Jesus. And the people were saying, you keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. He said, what? Jesus is passing by this way. No, I'm not going to keep quiet. The Bible says he cried out the more. He prayed. And he received wholeness in his life. You see, the key to being made whole is persistent faith. Faith that refuses to give up. Faith that refuses to give up no matter the obstacles. Some people will tell you, what is about God? What have you found about God that you keep following him? You say, Lord, he's changed my life. He has transformed my life. And as I follow him, I will keep going from glory to glory. This morning, I see someone experiencing wholeness in every area of their lives. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And another way, I pray that God will give you, now we are reading about all these testimonies. May God give you a testimony in this season that all the world will hear about. That he so transformed your life and brought you into the fullness of what he has. Another way by which you can contact the power of God is by taking the Holy Communion. And yet another way is through the anointing. You see, when Jesus Christ came, he said God has anointed him. You see, the anointing of God, the anointing is simply the Spirit of God or the power of God on your life for the impossible to be accomplished. For things that in the natural cannot be accomplished, for it to be done. It makes all the difference. You see, I'll show us something here. Go to Mark chapter 6 with me. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 says, and he called the 12 to himself and began to teach, to send them out two by two, and give them power over unclean spirits. Then, verse 12 says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. See something here. He says, he called them out and sent them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirit. Verse 12 says, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. He sent them out with power. He doesn't talk about anything about the anointing oil. They go out and they anoint with oil many that are sick and they are healed. I'm putting myself in the shoes of Thomas. He always wants to see before he believes. Jesus, if you give us power, where is the power? They went out and anointed many, many that were sick, anointed with oil, many who were sick, and healed them. That was in the ministry of Jesus when he was here. Notice something else also. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. I want us to see this. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. He says, then Samuel took the horn of oil, and talking about David now, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. He anointed him, the Spirit of God came on him. He anointed him. David was just walking around in Israel as a shepherd boy. From that day, his life was not the same again. If you go to chapter 17, now he kills Goliath in the very next chapter. Prior to that, he's just walking around. But the thing I want you to see is that he says, notice this clearly, don't let it get away from you. He took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He put the oil on him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Oh, my Lord and my God. Jesus was walking around in Israel. Everybody, they called him the carpenter's son. In Luke chapter 14, after he went and fasted and came back, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And the people wondered at the words which were coming out of his mouth. The person that they knew that was walking around by the anointing of the Holy Spirit was completely changed. The power began to manifest. Take Saul. I'm just going through all this for us to see something here. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. He says, then Samuel, you see, if you for you to become a king in Israel, you couldn't go without the anointing. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Verse 3. Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terrible tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city, there you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will prophesy. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands. For God is with you. Again, Saul is just walking around like an ordinary person. The Bible says when they anointed him, Saul, he says, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Another translation says, captain over his inheritance. The anointing helps you contact the power of God who puts you in command over your inheritance in Christ. That which God has ordained for your life. And then he said, you see, God has given us all things that pertains to life and to godliness. He says in 1 Peter. Ephesians 1:3 says, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessing there is in the heavenly places. But how do I get it in my day-to-day life? The anointing puts you in command. Everyone say, the anointing puts me in command. And then he says, then you shall go on forth. Sometimes in life, it feels like you are stagnated. There's stagnation. By the anointing, you are empowered to go forward. And this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, every stagnation in your life, as you are anointed this morning, may it come to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, may it come to an end in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You are going where?
Forward.
You are going where?
Forward.
Where are you going?
Forward.
Where are you going?
Forward.
Where are you going?
Forward.
I like that. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then he says, there are three men going up to God at Bethel, verse 3, will meet you, one carrying three young goats and another carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a skin of wine. After the anointing, people met him and started blessing him and giving to him. He started experiencing the favor of God. Beginning from this morning, after you have been anointed, people will begin to favor you.
Amen.
You will encounter the favor of God. I said you will encounter the favor of God. I said you will encounter the favor of God. I said you will encounter the favor of God. Oh, I said it, you will encounter the favor of God. In your business, you will encounter the favor of God. In your career, you will encounter the favor of God. You will encounter the hand of God on your life. If you believe it, shout yes! Hallelujah! Glory be to the name of the Lord. And he says, you will be turned into another man. In the mighty name of Jesus, as the anointing of God comes on your life, when you step out of this place into that neighborhood, into that workplace, people will begin to recognize that the hand of God is on your life. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, my, I said at the beginning, something will happen to you this morning. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No matter how destitute, no matter how hopeless it is, this morning I've come to assure you by the word of God that Jesus can transform your life. And as you encounter him this morning, may your life not remain the same. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Talk to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. I've said much. Not all may register on you, but talk to God. 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 And this morning, if you are watching us online or listening to this, or if you are here, your first step, like I talked about, is to exercising and being made whole, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he was raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and then you start your journey. My Lord, no matter what you are faced with, today can mark the beginning of a new day in your life. So if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, today is the day to do that. If you would like to meet this Jesus that I'm talking about, that rewrites the destiny and the stories of people and transforms your life, just lift up your hands and we'll pray with you. Or if you're watching online, let us pray with you as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your life will not be the same. Your life will not be the same.
We pray this message encouraged you to reach for God's very best. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.